I'm going to read to you, first of all, from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I'm going to read the first 11 verses. 1 Corinthians 15. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it is I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed. Today, as you know, is Good Friday. It's the day when we remember particularly the death of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. And this Easter period is so important to our faith because the death and resurrection of Jesus form the basis of the gospel message. And it's that message which is good news to everyone, absolutely everyone, at every point in history. Paul wrote the verses that we've heard today to the Corinthian church. And he said that he wanted to remind them of the gospel that he'd preached to them and they'd received and on which they'd taken their stand. He wasn't telling them anything new, anything that perhaps he hadn't told them 100 times before. And I'm not telling you anything new. You might wish that I was. You might wish that I'd got answers to the current questions that we've all got right now about how long this present situation is going to last or when we'll be able to meet again. And unfortunately, I don't have answers to most of the questions that I've got, let alone the questions you've got. But that doesn't mean we don't have answers. We've got something incredibly precious in the gospel. And it's this gospel message which we desperately need to remember at this time and pass on to other people. Paul says in verse 2, "By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you. Otherwise, you've believed in vain." We've got to hold firmly to the word of God at these times. Psalm 119, verse 89 says, "Your word, Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens." There's no word that's more contemporary or more relevant or up to date than God's word. And it's all, everything that we need for life is found here. And in this passage, Paul talks about the gospel that he himself received. We're doing our Bible studies in the book of Acts, and we saw there that Paul didn't come to believe in the gospel because he thought it was a good idea. He actually thought it was a very bad idea, that the early Christians needed to be killed because they were preaching heresy. He was someone, as he reminds the Corinthians, who persecuted the church of God. But on the road to Damascus, when he was on his way to arrest more Christians, Jesus met with him in a supernatural way that totally transformed his life. And from that point onwards, he received the good news. He understood the significance of Christ's death and resurrection. He understood that Jesus really was the promised Messiah, the Son of God. And after that, he spent his whole life passing on that good news. But we've got to stop here before we can go any further, because before we pass something on, we need to have received it. We can't pass on something we've not got. I've just lost the screen here. Just a moment. I want to show you something, but I'm looking at a different screen. Right, this is a baton, right? The kind of baton that you have in a relay race. And of course, you know, we can't pass that baton on to somebody else if we're not holding it in the first place. Paul says, you know, that he passed on what he received. He passed on the basics of the gospel, the things that were of first importance, the things that were placed so emphatically in front of us. And we've got to have received those. So, you know, the first question for us all today, wherever we are we sure? You know, have we got it? Have we received that gospel? And Paul, in this letter, sets out those basics. He says that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. And those are the fundamental facts of the gospel. They're the gospel in a nutshell, if you like. Today we're remembering that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And all four gospel stories recount the crucifixion in some detail. In Matthew 27, we read about Simon from Cyrene carrying the cross of Jesus. We read that Jesus was crucified at a place called Golgotha, the place of the skull, alongside two criminals. That there was a sign placed by the Romans, which proved more true than they realized, that this was the King of the Jews. We know that Jesus prayed from Psalm 22, verse 1, asking God why he'd forsaken him. That he gave up his spirit and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 15, we read that one of the criminals crucified alongside Jesus insulted him to the end. The Old Testament scriptures were fulfilled as the soldiers cast lots for his clothes. That the Roman centurion confessed, "Surely this man was the Son of God," as he watched him die. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, we read that Jesus prayed for his father to forgive those responsible as he hung on the cross. That even at that time of agony, he thought about other people. He welcomed the repentant thief beside him into paradise. He committed his spirit to God as he breathed his last. And in John's Gospel, chapter 19, we see people there who loved Jesus watching him die. We see Jesus' care and concern for his mother even as he was dying. We see Jesus' words, "It is finished." We see the eyewitness account of blood and water flowing from his side, which meant that his death was confirmed without any bones having to be broken, and that again fulfilled the Old Testament prophecies. This is the foundation of the gospel. Not just the fact that Jesus died, but the reason that he died for our sins. Jesus, who had no sin, became sin for us. God reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And again, we stop to remember that the real problem that we all face in the world isn't coronavirus, it's not poverty, it's not climate change. The real problem is that sin has separated us from God. And as a result, we face his judgment. The good news is that Jesus died for our sins, that perfect spotless sacrifice, so that we can be forgiven and accepted and reconciled to God. And that good news has the power to change everything in our lives, just as it did for Paul. The second thing that Paul stresses is that Christ was buried. He really did die. All four Gospels again talk of his burial in a tomb purchased by Joseph of Arimathea. And we might be surprised by the emphasis on this, but I think it's because God wants us to know with certainty that Jesus' death is the sure foundation of our faith. You don't bury bodies unless you're very sure that they're dead. You know, there have been many people throughout history who've said that Jesus didn't really die, but we can be sure that he really did. Our faith is based on that solid fact. Even though today, Good Friday, is the day when we remember especially the death of Jesus, we can't ever divorce that death from the resurrection that was to come. Paul says he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then we've got nothing positive to look forward to. We have no hope. We're just to be pitied more than all men. And again, you know, Paul's adamant that Jesus was raised on the third day and that it was according to the scriptures. You know, God's never taken by surprise. He wasn't surprised by the opposition that Jesus aroused. He wasn't surprised by the plans and schemes of the leaders to kill Jesus. It was all part of his plan, and that plan was made even before the foundation of the world. Revelation 13, verse 8 says, "The Lamb was slain before the creation of the world." Isaiah prophesied many years before Jesus was born that the Lord would make his life an offering for sin, and said he will see his offspring and prolong his days. The early apostles didn't have the benefit of the New Testament scriptures like we do, but they discovered that resurrection was there in the Old Testament too. Peter, preaching on the day of Pentecost, spoke from Psalm 16, and he said, "Seeing what was to come, he, David, spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay." We are in a privileged position, I think, today, because we know the end of the story. We know about resurrection. We know that Jesus wins. For those disciples on Good Friday, it seemed like the end of the world. And we have to pause today and reflect on that in our current situation. We might not have reached the resurrection part of the story yet, but we can be sure it's coming. We might still be sorrowing and grieving, and that's fine. But we do need to look ahead as well in anticipation of the glory that follows the suffering. And just as Paul talked about Jesus' death and burial, now he talks about resurrection and the appearances to Peter, to Cephas, and the apostles, and then to many more people, 500 of whom are mentioned, as well as to Paul himself. And I think that's really important. Paul doesn't just give us facts that you can't verify. He gives us facts and then evidence. Jesus really died. There was a real tomb. His body was placed there with a big stone in front of it as a seal and guards in front of it. And he really did rise from the dead. Not only do we know that because the tomb was empty, which technically doesn't prove he's alive, just that his body was no longer in the tomb, but we know it because he appeared to people. They saw him. They weren't expecting to see him. And in many cases, like Thomas, for example, they took some persuading. But the fact that he appeared to these people in recognizable form demonstrates the truth of the resurrection. And if this resurrection is true, as Paul goes on to expound in the chapter, then that changes absolutely everything. Nothing can stay the same when we realize that Jesus really did die and really did rise from the dead. Today we're celebrating Easter, I'm sure, in very different ways from how we probably expected to spend Easter this year. And like Paul, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you've taken your stand. There are so many things that I can't explain, so many things that I don't understand, and that applies to so many things in life, let alone spiritual things. We often sing, "I am not skilled to understand what God has willed, what God has planned." But I think at this time, more than ever, we need to be reminded of the truths of the gospel. We need to receive these truths and we need to stand on them. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. These are the truths on which we stand.